Good morning, everybody. Time now for the Mary Griffith Show on this Monday, July the 8th. Of course, the Mary Griffith Show sponsored by Harvest Ridge Coffee, with premier coffees roasted and delivered in small batches that are hand-roasted. Great way to wake you up to get a rich, sophisticated, delicious coffee experience. That's Harvest Ridge Coffee. Or just stop by the convenience store near you to enjoy the flavor of Harvest Ridge Coffee and get yourself going each and every morning. About this time, usually first, second Monday or so of the month, we usually talk it over with, we get a veteran's look, a veteran's aspect. And we always do that with Richard Elsenpeter. Rich, always glad to have you here. Good morning.
Well, thank you, Scott. Always a pleasure to be here.
Right. And alongside, you have brought somebody special. We're getting a different look at things from, the west side of our listening area. Stephanie Cooper with Douglas Community Services. Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to have you here.
And thank you.
And for folks on the Illinois side who may not know, tell us a little bit more about what Douglas Community Services does in Hannibal and Marion County.
Sure, absolutely. So Douglas Community Services has been around since 1969, providing services in Northeast Missouri. And over the years, our service areas changed, but we serve 9 counties right now in Northeast Missouri. We are a social service organization that also provides educational opportunities for children through our Head Start programs. But we do all kinds of things, and I'm sure that throughout this next 45 minutes, you're going to get to hear a little bit about that.
Well, that's the plan, including, and that's one reason why you're here. I mean, I was going to say, you do a little bit of everything.
We do.
To cover the needs in Hannibal and Marion County as well.
We do. We really are have been organized to support children, families, and community. And so several of the things that we do are primarily to make sure that people have the basic needs that they need on a daily basis. So food, clothing, shelter, it's the foundation stones of our organization. And from those things, we've built many, many programs over the years, but today we'll probably wind up going back to some of those very basic needs that people need and how they impact our veterans on the Missouri side.
Exactly. And what exactly does Douglas Community Services, what services are offered for veterans in Hannibal and Marion County?
Absolutely. So some of the very first things, and Richard and I have done a lot of work around this, is food security work. It's one of my very favorite places and spaces to be in, but we do provide emergency food. We provide commodity food or TFAP. We also provide a care closet for those personal hygiene needs. So we do a lot of veterans food boxes, senior food boxes. So we do a lot of work in the food security space, but we also do housing and utility assistance. We have a thrift store, which I heard that one of my staff often calls in on and talks to people probably or tells people about our thrift store. But we also spend a lot of time in early childhood education, providing early Head Start and Head Start services. We have some partnerships with private child care providers in our communities and their child care partnerships through Head Start. So so we're excited about all of those opportunities for children from 0 to 5. We also have some opportunities for veterans that want to volunteer, because we have a lot of retired veterans in our service area. And so we have a few programs, and I know you have them over here. We have the Retired Senior Volunteer Program, or RSVP, and we also have our Foster Grandparent Program. And so those programs really are the foundation of the work, getting the work out, right, and being able to provide people in the community to do the services that we need them to do, because we don't certainly have that many staff to get out into the 9 counties that we serve. But we do have volunteers, and our seniors step in and our veterans step in to provide those much needed services. So we have that. We have a Kids in Motion program, so it's for 5th and 6th graders. And so we do some workforce development. We do Toys for Tots, which is another, sponsored by the Marine Corps Foundation, and we've been doing that for many years. So lots and lots of different ways that Douglas is in the community.
Yeah, it certainly is. And how do you specifically, Stephanie Cooper, how do you oversee all of that. What exactly are you personally involved in?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know what? I have always said throughout my career that the best thing to do in business is to put people that are smarter around you. And that's exactly what I have done. I have fantastic, very new and very energetic program directors that have come on board in the past year or so. While they're learning about Douglas and all the different things that we provide in the community, they have certainly the ability to oversee those daily operations, which frees me up to be able to do things like this, right? Because as the CEO, it really is my my job and my opportunity, and I'm grateful to be able to do it, but to go out and really raise awareness about Douglas, talk about our staff, talk about our programs, look at ways that Douglas may be able to build new things in the community. That's one of the great things about being a nonprofit, is that if we see a need in the community, we can oftentimes tackle it alongside a community, or if they don't have the resources or the people to be able to put into a project, we can oftentimes get it started and get it up and going for them, and then we back out and let the community take ownership of those programs. So lots of ways. I'm fortunate enough, I get to stand on a lot of boards, and that's one of the reasons why I'm with Richard today, because you know we're I'm on the Together with Tri-State Veterans board now. Okay. And quite a few other boards and committees and things like that. So and bringing awareness really just about nonprofits being a part of the business community, because I think a lot of times people believe that if you don't have a for-profit company and you're looking at a bottom line, you really aren't providing business. And so we want to make sure that people understand and communities understand that nonprofits are a very viable business endeavor. And so for me, being able to lead those types of initiatives and those types of conversations is really what I get to do. And I have, you know, about 140 staff members that are making sure that the day-to-day operations are being taken care of and being done for us.
Very nice. I know one of those would be fundraising for you, too. That's probably a constant, isn't it?
It is, but in a different way. Right now, we're building a new facility, and so we are doing a capital campaign, and we're excited about that. We'll be wrapping up that facility at the end of this year, but what we do within our individual programs, the program directors really bring awareness about their programs, so they're doing a lot of what I have always considered friend raising. They may not be out there wanting to make the most money, but they are wanting to bring awareness about and raise a little money and, you know, along the way, so people understand what they're trying to do, what they're about, who they are, and how they can get involved. So fundraising is always around. Nonprofits, you'll never get away from it. And if you do, tell me your secret.
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly. But since you have so much support, I imagine that you get to engage in something that's very important for you or for any nonprofit, is really a long-term vision for the nonprofit, looking ahead. What are you going to be doing next year, 5 years, 10
right,
years?
Right.
Just setting that up.
Yeah. So the visioning that we do, we're grateful, and I'm very grateful because we have a very active board of directors. And as a matter of fact, the next couple of weeks, we'll be sitting down and talking about our vision for the next kind of 24 months. We really take a lot of information into account. We do some community needs assessment. We're paying attention to what's happening from a medical standpoint in our community, from a business standpoint, from an economic development standpoint, just what our clients and our families are requesting from us. And so what came out of visioning a few years ago that we're wrapping up is the fact that when people are utilizing social services, oftentimes when they're using state or federal programs, unfortunately, they are sent to multiple locations, right? And so they're having to kind of fight some red tape to try to get just access to services. And so we decided several years ago that we wanted to have a place where if you come in, you have access to everything that you could possibly need from Douglas. And so we wanted to build a building that would, you know, provide that opportunity. And so that has now kind of come to fruition, because now here we are, maybe in the last, you know, 1/3 of that project being completed. But that will be where our food pantry is and our thrift store is and our Kids in Motion and our CASA program and, you know, all of those programs that people need access to on a daily basis. They can now go to one location, and it's our previous location. We just tore the old building down and rebuilt on that property. But they're able to go, and they're able just to have access to all the staff and all the services at one location. That location has been really great for us. The neighborhood has embraced us. But it's also a good place for people that have barriers like transportation, right? They can walk to our location and get those services. So that's been the vision for the past few years. And so seeing it kind of being built up literally from the ground up has been just fascinating and just an important endeavor that we have taken on. So what's next after that? I don't know. That was such a big project for us, but we still continue, on an annual basis and really a daily basis to look to see what the community needs are.
Right. You mentioned the surveys of different parts of the population. Mm-hmm. What would you think would be the biggest need that local veterans in Northeast Missouri? What's their basic need?
Well, we always have high numbers when it comes to people needing access to food, right? Because benefits are only going to go so far. We are starting to see veterans that need access to housing. We've always had a high number of veterans that have utilized our food programs. But what we're noticing now, when I first started with Douglas, and it's been just about 9 years now, we could look at the demographic and see who was coming to us for food and what those age ranges looked like. But now we are starting to see individuals under the age of, 18 coming. There's a high number of people coming to us, kids. I mean, they're kids that are coming to us to access food. And then individuals over the age of 65. And that has been a big shift for us over the years, because there was always something to be said about the pride and, not asking, not having to ask for help. And so our seniors were not asking for help. And I hate to say our seniors. I mean, that's how we count them when it comes to numbers. But they're still very young. A lot of our individuals that are coming that are over the age of 65 are still working full time. But, there are a number of those individuals that just don't have access. They just don't have the financial resources. We are seeing those numbers continue to grow, which is sad in a way, because, there's still that need there. But I'm glad also because they feel comfortable enough with us to come forward and say, please provide me the access to food. And if not, tell me where I can go. And that has been a big shift, because that hasn't always been the case with older individuals, especially our veterans. So that's really what we have seen grow over the years.
Very good, very good. We're talking it over with Stephanie Cooper, the CEO of Douglas Community Services, based in Hannibal, serving 9 Northeast Missouri counties. We'll get into more of this. We do need to take a break, and we'll find out what the latest commodity prices are from the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange. That's on the way for you here on the Mary Griffith Show on WTAD. Thank you so much for that, Scott. We'll get that for you next hour from the IRSA Farmers Co-op. 9:35 on this Monday morning. Cooler temperatures, you better enjoy it. About this time next week, we're supposed to be hot again, so it's going to act like summer, unfortunately. We've been talking it over with Richard Elsenpeter, together with Tri-State Veterans and Tri-State Veterans Support. And one of the members of the boards for both of those organizations is the CEO of the Douglas Community Services, Stephanie Cooper. Welcome back. We were talking more about, it seems that in Marion, Rawls, other counties in Northeast Missouri, a little bit more of a need for veterans for food supplies. We were talking about that as well before the break. And is there a reason why that is? Do you know, or...
No, not really. You know, we looked at the numbers. I mean, we had tremendous numbers of people that we were serving throughout the pandemic, and we really thought after all of that was said and done, we would see our numbers go down, and we didn't. And so, you know, we serve roughly a little over 1,000 people a month in our food pantry. And, you know, again, a fair number of those individuals are over the age of 65 or they're under 18. But we're seeing more and more working families coming, you know, forward and saying, you know, I can only make these dollar struts so much. Mm-hmm. But we also see those individuals that are over the age of 65. You know, some are working, some are not. I mean, some are disabled and are not able to come, you know, and to the food pantry frequently, but they do come and access that. So, you know, we really don't know the reasons why. We're just glad that they know that we are there and they can access us and that they're going to be treated respectfully and we're going to help them in any way that we can to get them not only food access, but whatever other resources that they may need that we can provide, or if not, where can we get them to so they know who else can support them in the community.
Would you say that food insecurity, would you say that's a main challenge for veterans, or I'm sure there are others. Would you know what those are besides food insecurity for veterans in Northeast Missouri?
Sure, absolutely. I think one of the other big areas, and I'm sure Richard will touch on this because this is part of his passion and what he does, but you know, we also know that there are a number of our veterans that have to deal with mental health challenges. And so making sure that there are enough resources or that there's even awareness of resources is another big challenge that we're having, you know, obviously making sure that there's access to healthcare. We have, you know, the Veterans Clinic here and around Missouri, but just making sure that there is access to good quality healthcare and access to good quality mental health services is also just one of our biggest challenges in the region.
Yeah, and distance probably plays a part in that too, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Distance, lack of transportation. You know, even if an individual has a car, just being able to access gas to drive an hour and a half or further to get to, you know, a VA clinic is a challenge. And we see some of those requests from time to time. Or we'll have somebody come in and say, can you get me a bus ticket so I can get up there and go? So, you know, there are some resources, but they're very limited. And that's one of our biggest barriers. You know, in Northeast Missouri is just access to reliable transportation.
Right. When you say up there, I'm assuming you mean Iowa City? Or
Yes.
Okay. Because I wasn't sure where folks would go, whether they would go to, like, Columbia Jeff City or...
They do. But some of our folks, because they live here, it's a little bit easier for them to go up into Iowa City. It's about the same amount of time, so...
Okay. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. We're talking it over with Stephanie Cooper, the CEO of Douglas Community Services. How important, you mentioned it a little bit earlier, that you do have some veterans working for Douglas Community Services and being able to, reach out. How important do you see that? Or would you consider them to be role models in a way?
Oh, my gosh, absolutely, yes. Yeah. I say that with a huge smile on my face because I know the importance of the things that our veterans have done. You know, I'm a veteran spouse, and I come from a military family. All of the men were, you know, in the service, and so I know the things that people have given up to serve. So I can do this job, and you can do what you're doing, but just the ability for somebody to have as much training and as much education and as much practical experience in the workforce, why wouldn't you, right? Why wouldn't you have veterans that you want to hire, that you want to bring in to be role models for other individuals? Because they have all of this experience and they have all of these opportunities that they've had. And why not be able to share that, right? Because it's important. It's important for our children that we are raising as a community to see you know, good, positive role models. A lot of our kids don't. You know, they are struggling. They may be in the foster care system, and they just don't have access to, you know, stable, consistent role models. And so, you know, we're making sure that they're there, and we're making sure that when there is a need that we have veterans in place. I was just talking to a lady that is helping us out with Toys for Tots, and just her passion to want to give back to the community and want to help children and want veterans to be engaged with the projects that we're doing. I mean, as soon as you start talking to her, it's contagious. Because she just wants everybody involved, right? And she's just going to recruit everybody she possibly knows, and so it's just been fantastic to be able to have veterans in these really key roles within our organization.
Right, and it's in a lot of industries also. There are incentives for businesses to hire veterans.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if not, then certainly you need to, you know, reach out to your local job center. That's where our veteran rep stays. And so reach out and find out the types of benefits that a business can have if they consider hiring a veteran, especially with the fact that so many of us are struggling with hiring. There are certain populations that are oftentimes overlooked, and the veterans population is one of them. You know, because there's, they've done it, they're retired, they're drawing their retirement, they're not going to come back out. But yeah, for the right position and the right mission and all of those things, I think you would be surprised at who you could recruit coming in, but it's certainly something to think about.
Yeah, and I would venture to say that once you talk to some anybody who's retired, they will tell you that it's better if you're active after retirement. It's like you miss out on so much. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, thinking, oh, I'm just going to sleep, I'm going to lay around, I'm going to go fish. Well, after a while, Richard, you probably pipe up on this. It's a little old after a while. You want to do something worthwhile.
I've retired about 3 times. But veterans, soldiers need missions. We need a job. We get, any veteran would tell you that if any soldier that is bored gets into trouble. So it says, we need a job. We need a mission. So, I definitely agree with Stephanie. If you need a job done, try to find a veteran, because they know how to get up in the morning. They know how to show up on time. They know how to pull their pants up. They know, you know, the importance of a mission. And you don't have to micromanage them. You just give them a job and they go do it.
Yeah, because really that's the way to advance in the military is to just show some self-initiative and to really get forward and do it yourself.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
He says it's just and that's said. Stephanie said something a little earlier that I completely agree with. Hire the best people, and you don't have to micromanage them. And that's what I always did in the military, is I trained my people, I showed my people, and then I gave them a job, and they went and did it, and I knew I didn't have to micromanage or look over their shoulders or check up on them. I just knew that they were going to go do it.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Wanted to ask you something, since you're on both boards, on other sides of the river, when you meet, can it be frustrating for the both of you to kind of like figure out what you want to attack first in terms of problems, or do you do it on like a, do you say, okay, you know, do you kind of like political horse trading, said, if you do this, I'll do this. And it's like, how do you solve problems, and what problems do you want to solve first, I guess, is what, where's the consensus on that?
Go ahead.
I think the group, there has always been a consensus of what we want to bring to the table. I think where I may do a little sidestep is that, you know, I'm probably the consistent reminder that it is a tri-state initiative, and that even though we meet and primarily many of the members are from here in Adams County and Quincy, I never want people to forget that, you know, we have veterans in Iowa, we have veterans in Missouri, And so while a lot of the work is done here in Quincy, I will always say make sure that, you know, if we're going to be tri-state, that all the states are represented. Because we, as you have heard this morning, we have different issues, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of mental health and suicide awareness happening here, a lot of housing happening here. But, you know, just 25 miles across the river and, you know, through the woods is, you know, some things where we are looking at mental health issues like they are here, but we're also looking at food security. And that's not something. Mm-hmm. Richard and I have done a lot of work around food securities, more so over there than we have here. But that's what I would say. I think for the most part, though, there's great consensus among the group. Everybody sees the mission, right? And so we're all working towards this one mission of awareness and making sure that our veterans and even our active duty know that there is somebody they can reach out to if they need help, right? And whatever that help looks like.
Right, exactly. Richard, I was going to ask you, it's been a couple of months now since the Adams County Veterans Commission has been up and running with Paul Hevermail as its director. How has that been going from your perspective? How has that been going so far? Has it been exceeded your expectations or not? Or
I think it's exceeded my expectations. I'm on that board, so he says, hey, well, and that was actually one of the missions that we as the Together with Tri-State Veterans wanted to take on, is to have that Veterans Service Commission established in Adams County. So that was one of our missions, and one of the reasons it got passed is because that was something that we took up to create. Once it was created, we hired Paul. I know that he has seen over 100 veterans at this point. They are hiring, they are looking at, they are helping veterans. And one of the very important things, it is in Adams County, and we are getting funded by Adams County. So we have to be cognizant and aware that the people that come in need to be Adams County if we spend money. But one of the missions we've talked to Paul about and made sure that we wanted to reiterate with everybody is, if you are a veteran, we will not say no. We will help you. We can't spend money on a non-Adams County resident, but we can guide, we can direct, we can help. If you need help with a VA claim, we can help you with that. If you need assistance and guidance, we can help you with that. If you have other issues, we will point you in the right directions. So we will never say no to a veteran. So I think that as far as the Veteran Assistance Commission, it is going along very, very well. I'm very, very pleased, and I think it's going to grow and expand beyond our expectations. So, I think it's going along fantastic. So.
Very good. Very good. We're at 9:49. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'll ask both Stephanie Cooper, Director of Douglas Community Services, and Richard, just services that aren't being provided for veterans on both sides of the river. We'll ask that and a lot more as we finish up here on the Mary Griffith Show on this Monday on WTAD. Welcome back to the Mary Griffith Show, 9:52 on this beautiful Monday morning. Scott Hardy in for Mary. Mary is back on Wednesday, and we are talking veterans issues on both sides of the river, but especially in Northeast Missouri, and alongside is the CEO of Douglas Community Services, Stephanie Cooper. And before the break, I asked, do you see services, and both of you, Richard Elsenpeter and Stephanie, you can answer as well, both sides, what services that aren't being offered to veterans and in the community that you think should be?
Would you want to go?
There are a lot of issues that veterans need assistance with. Job insecurities, food insecurities, housing insecurities, mental health, you know, medical health. There are so many different issues that not only veterans have, but the population in general have. And I think there are so many of those things that are being addressed and looked at. But I think some of those, the mental health, as I think Stephanie had talked about earlier, the mental health and the physical health of veterans is probably the one that I worry about the most. So suicide prevention is one that I worry about the most. But my goal with suicide prevention is to work upstream, because all of those issues that I just talked about are contributing factors for veterans that are in that dark place or in that hole. Those are all issues that can cause a veteran to look at the alternative of suicide to fix his issues. So if we can work upstream and make sure that he is housed, that he does have food, that he is taking care of his family, that he is getting the correct medical and mental health services that he needs, those are, I think, the issues that we need to look at, we need to address, we need to do a better job at reaching veterans and letting veterans know that it's okay not to be okay, that it's not – the veteran mentality is I'm strong, I can take it, I can hack it, I'm okay. You know, take him first. You know, let him go first. I'm okay. But it's all right to need assistance. It's all right to reach out for help. It's all right to talk to your buddies or your pals or your friends that I'm struggling, you know. So.
Yeah. And how do you feel about that as well,
Stephanie? I'm in agreement with Richard. I mean, there's certainly all kinds of services. I see it a little bit differently, though, because even though there are those services available on, you know, in all three of our states, one of the things that I see as a hindrance, really, is the fact that there are a number of organizations that probably do offer great veteran services, but nobody would know, right? Because there's not a concentrated effort to say we are providing veteran services, right? So it's by word of mouth. But I also think there is something to be said in veterans going to the right place where they believe they are going to get services. And what I mean by that is that if a veteran is going to come into Douglas and just if it just so happens that I'm there and we strike up a conversation, I get a far different response when they find out that I'm a veteran spouse, because now they have something in common with me, right? To go to a social service organization where they may put up veteran services and we support veterans, but if there's no one that has ever had that experience, if they don't have veterans on staff, if they don't have veterans on their board, whatever the case may be, I don't think that there's going to get that, they're going to have that connection and they're going to say, this is a safe space for me. This is where I can go. I can call out that lady that I talked to and she can help me. And if not, I know she'll know somebody, right? And so I find that as we begin to have those conversations and we somehow tie in veterans, whether it's a personal experience like mine or whether it's a program like the Toys for Tots program that we do, people all of a sudden have a different reaction to us. And so I think it's just the awareness and knowing that even though I may not come across to you as a person that has military experience, dig a little deeper and you'll find out that I will. And that's when I begin to see some barriers and some walls being broken down. But I think there's lots of great services in Northeast Missouri, but oftentimes that personal connection is what's lacking.
Do you see it in veterans that you talk to when you mention that your family has a background in it, that you're a spouse? Do you see like almost like the light bulb go off and it's like, she knows?
Absolutely. Absolutely, because then the conversation just immediately shifts. Where were you stationed? How long were you there? What did your husband do? You know, and then, or I'm getting and once that level of comfort's established, then there's a little bit of ribbing, especially if it's not the right service, right? So there's always that too.
Of course, of course.
Well, and I completely agree. Because I've mentioned many, many times that if you put me in a room full of truck drivers and they're talking truck shop, I'm lost. You put me in a room with veterans, there's an instant connection. Even though we may be different branches, we may be different services, we may be different campaigns, you know, their shared experiences. So I am much more apt, and I tend to find veterans are much more apt to be more relaxed and open up and tell you what their issues are if they know you have some of those shared experiences. So you go ahead and have that connection that you're, you know, military, you're family related, you are, you know, spouse of a veteran.
Yeah.
You are much more apt to go ahead and get that real story versus this kind of that surface level stuff.
Well, Stephanie finally trusts me because we have a shared acquaintance and we're talking about that.
Absolutely we do.
In the minute that we have left, the one thing that you want folks to know about Douglas Community Services?
So when, you know, our mission is to build strong kids, strong families, and strong community, and the veterans are a very real and important piece of our community. And so what I would say for anyone listening that's in Northeast Missouri, if you are a veteran in need of services, do not hesitate to reach out to us, because there is somebody on the other side of the phone. There's somebody in the food pantry. There's somebody with housing services. There's myself, that we want to make sure that we're providing services and access to services. So we certainly want anyone that's listening that needs something that we would be able to assist them with. And even if we can't, we will know exactly where to go. We want people to utilize us as a resource and access us when they need us.
Very, very good. We've been talking it over with Richard Elsenpeter with Tri-State Veterans Support, and together with Tri-State Veterans, and Stephanie Cooper, the CEO of Douglas Community Services. I've always admired the organization. I know you do so many things, and it's a pleasure to meet you, and thank you for being here.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me this morning.
Oh, lovely, lovely. And, of course, Mary is due back on Wednesday. We'll have a best-of episode for you tomorrow. We'll be talking about defending yourself. That's on the way. Stay tuned. The Ramsey Show is next.